This episode was a live stream for our supporters over on Patreon. You can join us for future live streams over at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Welcome to, this is Talking Backwards, the Barkhouse Sessions live stream. I am Patrick, one of the co-hosts of Talking Backwards. Tyler couldn't make it tonight. He had something more important to do. I don't understand. Dave is going to be here, but he had to give his dog a bath. But that's okay, because I'm not alone. I have a very special guest, the wonderful Andrea Hayes, a.k.a. Heidi, the legendary Heidi from Twin Peaks. How are you, Andrea? Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm legendary, and once I get that crystal, everyone will know it.
That's right. That's right. Gosh, no, you listen, I can't believe I'm speaking to you right now, honestly, because so we're going back to revisit the pilot season one on our show, and the pilot's fresh on my mind. And it's actually the first time I've watched it since we started doing our podcast 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And it was also the first time since we did our trip to Washington. So it's even more surreal since the pilot was filmed up there. but you were there. Can you take me back? How did this happen? How did Andrea end up as Heidi in Twin Peaks?
Some people have heard this story before, but my, they had the Joanna Ray, the main casting director, and then they were coming up to do the local casting in Seattle. And my friend Liz Yaffe worked, she'd just recently been doing casting, and the call came in. And of course, we knew who David Lynch was. The world was about to know. I mean, it's funny to think about, but it's like people are going, who? And I'm like, are you kidding? Eraserhead, Elephant Man, right. Come on! Dune. But
Dune. Yeah, anyway, can't forget Dune.
So she called me up one day and told me. I remember she did say, "Andrea, I've done something bad," and I'm like, "Okay, what did you do?" And she wanted to make a good showing, and the part called for a large German girl who blushes and giggles easily. And so she was gathering all the hefty, blonde actresses around Seattle, and didn't think she had enough in the stack, I guess. So she put in a photo of me. Wasn't even a headshot, but a photo of me. And they picked it. They're like, yeah, we want to meet her. And so she had to call me, and I'm just like, yeah. Normally I would do I do costumes, props. I'm behind the camera a lot. And so it was like, yeah, sure, I'll come in to meet David Lynch. I'll come in, yeah. She's like, well, you might not meet him. You're going to meet the casting director first. And I'm going, oh, I will meet David Lynch.
You just
have a conversation, and then got called in to meet David and Mark. And I do remember, and I'm going to apologize to David and Mark because I kind of lied to you. It was a lie of omission. But right before I went in, Liz whispered to me, and she's like, don't tell them you don't know how to drive. I'm going, okay. Now, to say I do know how to drive, in Idaho, you can get your license at 14. So I got my license at 14 and then just didn't do anything with it. So I did, but I was like, okay, that's a weird thing for you to tell me. And I went in, and of course they're like, now, can you drive a VW bug? And I was going, oh yeah, my brother has one. My brother has a VW bug. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm not telling him I can drive it. I'm just merely stating that my brother has a VW bug.
Oh, wow.
But that led to some shenanigans on the set. So my boyfriend was trying to show me how to drive stick after I got the part, and it was just like, oh my God. So if you notice in the pilot, I'm coming up, and the thing is, he was showing me how to do a stick, but his stick didn't have a brake. So, you're supposed to, do all this stuff, brake. But anyway, there was something missing, and he didn't show it to me because he didn't think it was necessary. He also didn't show me how to reverse. So he said, they'll have people do that. So if you notice, I'm coming up and it's not stopping. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to make this restaurant a drive-through. And I was panicking. And then I finally just like slammed and pulled up the emergency brake. So you see the car come in and, you know,
oh my
and
gosh.
That was real. That was me. And that's the shot they decided to keep. But I was, of course, I'm horrified going, oh, great. Now I'm fired because I lied.
Right.
I lied. I'm sorry, God. You know, I know. And yeah, so it was, but it was terrible.
That's so amazing. James, when we talked to James Grixoni a couple months ago, he was saying something similar where he hadn't driven in a while, I think, or something, and he had to pull in the police car into the tweeds. And he was like just so nervous about it. He was like, yeah, I can drive or something. I was like, oh my gosh.
Which is like the third time's a charm. It'll eventually become a drive-through, you know.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
No, that's
but
fantastic.
Yeah, so it was nice to meet him, and I was like thrilled, you know. I'm just sitting there fangirling quietly, going, oh, la la la, just answering questions.
Yeah. No, that's that's amazing. So did it actually say you had to giggle on the script or in audition? Did it say that?
It giggles, blushes, and giggles easily.
Wow.
So it didn't say, that's my actual giggle when I get nervous or I'm laughing too hard and it goes into that. And so yes. And it usually embarrasses me because I've been teased about it. And I'm going, I know. It's just this weird thing. And it's a nervous little giggle. And of course I'm nervous. And I giggled and I just went, damn it, Andrea, stop it, quit it. And then it's become its own being.
So. Yeah. It's your signature sound, the sound, listen to the sounds, the Heidi giggle is, let's just, it's it's like to me, I mean, it's iconic. It's so interesting too, because you're there, your screen time though, I mean, you're not seen for so long after the pilot, but you're so memorable. And again, like, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but like, you know, you come back at the end of season two. And when I first saw this, even though it was my first time watching through, I knew immediately because I remembered, like, even though it had, you know, granted, when I was first watching Twin Peaks, it was not, I don't know, 6-7 years ago or something, but like I was more binging it because it's just the streaming age. So, but still wasn't probably that long in between viewings, but I still remembered. I remembered the giggle and it stood out. And I thought that was just the most amazing thing. I was like, oh, he brought Heidi back.
Yeah. I guess they'd lost me and.
Yeah.
Couldn't
you were
find
lost.
Me.
Yeah.
I've been lost 3 times in that show. So
you have.
It's always like, oh, we found you. And I'm like, well, I've always been here. I just, yeah. I don't know. So. Yeah,
I'll get to Fire Walk With Me in a minute, and it's interesting just because that's the prequel. But in your opinion, what do you think Heidi was doing for all of those? I don't know. In the Twin Peaks time, it's like a month or two, like from the first episode to the last episode of season two.
Yeah,
was she just skipping work, jump starting the old man again?
No, I was working odd shifts. And, you know, in the world of Twin Peaks, it says you have to have the weird stuff happen between this time and that time. And I just kept getting the wrong shifts. So I was like, oh, whew, it's going to be a nice, well, just going to pour coffee. All right. I'm not going to enter a portal. Okay. So she was happy to.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's just because I've been like, oh, so on that, the pilot years later, I've had 2 gentlemen tell me that they were both 13 when it aired live, and they both told me, it's like, I had the biggest crush on you. And I was like, oh, so I'm running big with the 13-year-old boys. That's great. That should have happened when I was 13, you know, but, you know. But, so,
that's amazing.
But yeah, I thought that was funny because it is. It's so tiny, and people will find out. And I don't talk about it. Now I talk about it because I realized, oh, it's a worldwide phenomenon. But at the time I didn't. And I remember my friend Landon, I'd known him for 10 years. And he finally was watching it and he saw me and he starts screaming for his wife. He's like, Autumn, come here. That's Andrea. And she's like, oh yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was that like?
Yeah,
you filmed that and I mean, of course, it aired, you know, a year later after it being filmed.
Like a year and a half. Yeah. I mean, we filmed it in 89. Yeah. So
yeah. And so
started to film it then.
What was it like when that finally aired?
It was, well, I had my friends and I kept telling them, now I have one line, and they're going, oh no, but that's cool. Cause you know, they weren't, I had some actor friends, but you know, most of them were ran the gamut. So we got a bunch of TVs. I do remember that. And I was living in a house called the Mansion of Happiness, and it had this huge living room that was like, you know, 25 feet long. That's what we, it was called the Mansion of Happiness. It was an amazing house. And like, I think half of Seattle either stayed there or lived there. And so we had all these TVs lined up, including this little one, and came over and had a bunch of drinks. And then we start watching it, and they're all, you know, watching. And then my part came on and I went, oh, that's it. So they're all like applauding. Aah! And then we watched the rest of it and drank some more. And it was just kind of, oh, thank you. And that was, and there goes my 15 minutes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
so then you got brought back. Were you, how did that happen? Were you surprised?
For the season two finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. And I guess that's when David took over. Like, I didn't realize at the time, all you guys probably know more about it than I do. But, you know, when he came back and he's just like, we need Heidi. And like, okay, you know, they found me because I was lost. And like, sure. And they flew me to LA, and it was, I do remember, because I, you know, I grew up poor, and I'm like, I'm a no frills kind of gal, you know? So
yeah,
they said, we'll have a ticket for you at the, you know, at the airport, because they could do that then. And I'm like, okay. So I remember having to like take the bus there, schlepping with my little bag. And then I get to the airport, and the person behind the counter is like, okay, blah, 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 ID. And she's like, oh my goodness, did your parents pay for this for you? And I was 26. I'm going, no. And I was like, okay. And then I look, and it was first class. But then it also had a little star on it, which I guess at the time was like, oh, VIP, very important.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very subtle nod to the when you had this, they're going to know, like, oh, VIP.
That's Heidi.
And I'm just like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm Andrea from Seattle. And, so I remember getting on the plane, and just, it was so bizarre, you know, because I'm just like, okay. But first class.
It's amazing.
With a star. So
you were the star.
I could have asked for anything, I guess.
Yeah.
We've got Dave owl. Yeah.
There you go. We've got Dave here now. Dave joining the
hi, Dave.
Conversation.
Hey, Andrea.
Yeah, Dave, meet Andrea. We were just chatting about we chatted a little bit about the pilot and just how she got brought back at the end of season two. And she was just telling about how they flew her down to LA to come back.
That was specifically going to be my question when I got here, was how they handled what criminally little screen time Heidi got.
Yes.
How they handled that with actually getting you to and from set, and how much notice you got and everything like that.
Yeah. Hardly any. I had to scramble to get the weekend off, and I'm trying to explain why I needed it off. And they're like, you're on a what now? I'm going, it's a TV show. And,
I'm an actor, Darren.
I can get people to cover my shifts, I promise, you know, but, and I was actually thinking, oh my gosh, you know, because where I was raised, Idaho, there aren't any jobs. And so you get a job, you hang on to it, right? And that's what I was always taught. So here I am thinking, I guess I might have to just say, no, I can't make it because I'm not getting the weekend off, you know, of this minimum wage crap job. So I'm glad
when you weigh the opportunity cost, it seems like an obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that speaks to
getting water, by the way.
Oh yeah. That speaks to you and also to David Lynch, you know, for remembering I mean, he had to feel the way I did. I feel like you were memorable. It's like, we got to bring her back. But that was the coolest thing, because it was such a double, as we say on our show, the repetition of, you know, the dialogue, you coming in to the diner. It was just,
yeah, there was just no script. An
amazing moment. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no so script. Cool. He just knew he wanted me there.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's right. Yeah. Because well, he wanted your rights with that.
I got paid for like 2 days to just hang out, and, you know, I could come to set and just like, oh, there's all these people. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Hey, I know you. And I remember meeting Billy Zane, and I, you know, they hadn't shown his part yet on TV. So when they're filming, and he was nice, and I'm talking to him, and I thought he was a grip because he was dressed like a grip. He was hanging out with a grip. So yeah. I don't care. I'll talk. If you're nice, I will talk to you. I don't get this hierarchy of, oh, no, they're the extras, you know?
Like, right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, then I went to my friend's house to, you know, catch up on it. And they're like, you know, and I'm going, oh, him. Yeah. Oh, gosh, he's an actor. I thought he was a grip. I'm clueless. But yes. So it was interesting. But he didn't have a script. And then finally, he's like, well, let's bring Heidi in. Let's bring, you know, like, yeah, we've got, yeah. And he came up to me, and he's like, you know, he'll look at you. And then, what do we do in the pilot? And I told him verbatim. He's like, let's do that again.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Perfect.
That's the truth. That is the truth. But
oh, I love that.
When I tell that, the people who ask me, because they're like, okay, explain the Lynchian circle. And I'm going, oh, you're going to be disappointed. Or are you? No. Maybe David was lying to me and made it seem like it was my idea, all the while mesmerizing me into this is what I want. And, you know. So, I mean, who knows, but people get disappointed, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, but that's,
no, I think I'm that's not
a better story.
I think it's a prime example of, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it was, yeah. So it's just like, okay, do I have to drive a car again? No. And I'm going, okay, wise choice.
I guess we can shift. We'll go in order here, even though it's the prequel. So then Fire Walk With Me comes along.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah.
So you get another call. Yeah, you get another call.
Just to bloody your nose.
Well, this would have been, this would have been back in Washington. This was filmed there.
What is it, 90? Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Is it 91? Something like that? 90.
It came out in 92.
Call.
I don't know when it was filmed.
Yeah, so I think it was 91 that I got the call. And I was working at Pioneer Square Theater here, and we were doing the world premiere. Roald Dahl had given us permission to do Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And at the time, we had the exclusive right because we were hoping to bring it to Broadway. So it's like he would never allow a stage show. And now I know it's on Broadway. But back then, he was like, no, because he hated the movie. And he's like, no. And the people I was working with, Red Farm Films, they sent him a heartfelt letter and going, and here's our idea for it, to bring it to stage. And he said, okay, here's the deal. Well, I'll give you Seattle rights. You have the right to Seattle. And then I'll come down and see it. And if I like it, I will agree that you can move it to, you know, we'll start the Broadway thing. So we're all excited. Like, yay, Roald Dahl's coming. Oh, here we are, practicing. And then he died. And oof. Like, we have the worst luck. We have the worst. So in the middle of that comes the call for Fire Walk With Me. Of course, I didn't know what it was called then. They're just going, yeah, we're making a movie about Twin Peaks. And it was some, I don't even know who called me. It was some casting assistant to the underassistant in LA. And they told me to keep a month free. I'm thinking, I don't think you realize I work like, you know, okay. And they said, keep this month free. You're going to be in this movie, and we'll get in touch with you closer to the date. I'm going, okay, the month is free. I won't sign on any other multi-million-dollar project. I promise.
And this one's yours.
it's going to be hard, but okay, you got me. And I remember as it was getting closer to filming, and we knew it was happening. We knew it was filming. And I'm going, gosh, they haven't called me. I thought, oh, I better call the local casting office. And Heidi Walker Casting was doing the local casting for Fire Walk With Me, but I didn't get a hold of Heidi. I just called blindly at the office and got another 23rd undersecretary to the, you know, person who brings them the lemonade. And I said, "Hi, I'm Andrea Hayes. I played Heidi. And look, I got this call and I'm supposed to be in it." And they're like, "You're not in the script." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'm just saying that I got this call." And the person was so rude to me. And at the time I was like, why would I lie about this? And,
right.
You know, because again, I'm not an actor. So I'm going, "Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah." After I got off and was talking to my friends going, "God, that was so weird. I mean, they told me to keep the month open. And then she's saying I'm not in the script and was like treating me like I was a criminal and la, 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 la." And she's no longer working there, by the way. So ooh. I knew that for a fact.
Wow.
But and not just because of that, but it was so bizarre. And so the day that I was supposed to be filming, it was actually Mark called me. And this is in the days of pre-cell phones. And I was on my way out to cover a shift for someone. And I get, you know, I'm like, the phone's ringing and I'm going, "Oh, I better answer it. It might be something important." And he's like, "Hi, you know, this is Mark Frost, blah, blah, blah. And so you know why I'm calling you." I'm thinking, "No."
Sounds threatening.
And I didn't have a car. And I said, "Well, I have no way to get to." And they were filming it on site again. So in North Bend at what was called the Marquee Cafe. And he's like, "That's okay. We're going to send you, we're going to get you a cab. Just grab a cab, pay him, bring me the receipt." So I'm like, "All right." And then I hurriedly called. And this time I was working with someone who was reasonable. And they're going, "Well, okay, I guess I can work for you today, but don't let it happen again." And I was again like, "Okay, I won't." So yes, they barely caught me, and I show up, and sure enough, he hands me, you know, and it was a expensive cab ride. And I'm just like, "I'm poor, I can't afford this. What are you doing, cab? Quit cooking. Quit it." But then David came up and he's like, "Oh, I'm glad they found you." And I'm going, "Okay." I do a bad David Lynch imitation. So,
yeah. That was perfect.
And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, thanks. You know, I'm really happy you're here." And I'm going, "Okay, great." And I happen to be standing by all the extras, you know, and I'm already in makeup. And, you know, so I'm just like, "Oh, look, a large group of people and they're standing over there. I'm going to go stand next to them and start chatting." And so he comes by and gives me the personal greeting. And I remember the extras were staring at me, and one of them's like, "Well, I'm impressed." I'm going, "About what? That I got here?" But then they found out I was a regular cast member. So then it was, and it's like, "Oh my God, and you're talking to us." And again, I'm going, "Well, yeah, you're people." And right. They're like, "Oh, we're all crammed in this one little space." And I'm going, "I have a trailer, you know." And they're going, "Yeah." I'm going, "Do you want to see it?" So I told, you know, the PA there, I'm going, "We'll be right back. Is it okay? I'm just gonna, you know," took this large group of extras to my trailer.
Wow.
I'm going, "Yeah, go on in. Not that big, but sure. You've never been in a trailer before, then check it out." Yeah. I remember the security guard when we were walking towards them, they're like, you know, like getting ready for the walkie-talkie. And I'm like, "Hi, I'm just going to my trailer," you know. And I don't know what they thought, like, "Wow, she's got an unusual entourage." So, but yeah, it's like, I would be excited if I'd never seen inside of a trailer. And if somebody's like, "Do you want to see what?" Sure. Because that sounds great. So yes, I remember. So if you were an extra on that day, you got to see my trailer.
That's amazing.
What a delight that day, for sure.
Were those just people who were at the diner?
Or they would just hang out, and then if like, okay, you know, like any extra work, okay, you walk down the street, you know.
Right.
So yeah, they could have stayed there all day, and
that's cool.
So yeah, I just hung out with them because they were in a group of interesting people, and I didn't want to sit in my trailer all alone all day and be bored, even though I brought a book. So that's my story of the trailer.
And then you somehow got a nosebleed?
Yeah, that's the other thing. So again,
very curious on the nosebleed.
That well, you should have seen the other guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
classic.
That's the other thing. It was like no real. There was, you know, an outline, and so that's why the original film, I think, is 8 days long, because it's just like, yeah, let's add in that scene and then that scene, and then we'll, you know, I guess it's just like I want to have a whole bunch of stuff to choose from so that then I can throw it on the canvas. So again, I was there getting paid, hanging out, and finally the second day, because I'm going, I had a whole day of getting paid a lot of money for nothing. And the next day he came up and he's like looking at me, you know, and he's like, I'd like to see you with a nosebleed. And I said, well, I'd like to see you seasick. And I'm, you know, again, it's like, you could kind of hear some people like, and he's like, okay. And so that's,
I'll file that away for later.
Yeah.
Oh, you do a better imitation. Yeah. So, and that scene, I mean, Big Ed and Nadine actually came in. I thought, this is the weirdest scene, because I sat there for hours just, and then occasionally he'd go, okay, now giggle, look to your side and giggle. And every time you heard the, okay, Heidi has a nosebleed, I was supposed to go and look over. And so there are all these people coming by, like Laura comes by and looks at me and then just freaks out and runs out of the diner. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense, because, you know, I know.
Yeah.
And then Ed and Nadine come in and they sit down, and you can, you know, I guess you can see me in the frame, because they said, no, stay there, because we can see you. They have an entire argument that's not even in the film.
Right.
So it's like, wow. You know, and if you know about filming, it's like one shot can take hours. So I'm just like, okay, well, this is fine, you know. Well, this is really easy work. Mm-hmm. La, 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 la. And so, yeah, it's just all these people that kept coming in, and I'm going, this is an entire scene about a nosebleed and the way people react, because everybody had to react to me. And then, of course, in the final cut, it's Heidi has a nosebleed, and then you see me, like that.
That's it. Going,
that's it. And yet I still have people, you know, the Twin Peaks fans, man, you guys catch everything. So I've been asked to sign bloody handkerchiefs, and I'm like, I'll sign it as long as it's not real blood, because, you know, I am a nurse. Right. And I know what can happen. So,
mm-hmm.
Wow. So yes, I always give thanks, because I was, when we filmed the pilot, I was taking prereqs to become a nurse and couldn't really afford it. You know, I'd already had my degree for theater, and so I was like, oh, I can't afford it. And then David found out that I was trying to become a nurse, so that's the other thing. On the last episode, he's, you know, he came up, and of course I'm in LA, and he's like, well, this ought to get you a lot of tuition, right? And I'm going, well, actually they're making me join SAG, and it's, at the time it was like $1,000. I'm going, so I'm going to be $1,000 low. And he just went, what? And I'm going, yeah, I mean, and I know, and I feel bad, because I'm sorry, guys. I know that a lot of my friends and a lot of actors are like striving to get SAG, but I don't need it for working behind the camera. And so he's looking at me, and he looks to the person next to him, and he's like, go pay her dues. And they walk off. I was like, oh, and that's how I became a SAG member.
Wow.
So
that's the way to
yeah,
do it.
He's very generous with his cast and crew. And
yes, I've heard nothing but the best stories, and it's shown. It's actually fascinating to me, because on the box set for the newest one for Twin Peaks, there's so much behind the scenes, and you can see all. And which I'm surprised that stuff is even out. They chose to release it, but you can see so much of just how kind he is, especially with the actors, and giving everybody, you know, the send-offs, you know, like, you know, when they're done, when they're wrapped, you know, it's just like it's so cool. And that's your story, just is more proof of that.
Oh, and so yeah, so I did become a nurse, so thank you, David Lynch.
Amazing.
Congratulations, that's wonderful.
In Fire Walk With Me, speaking of a lot of stuff not making it on set, you got to have this guy on, Brian Finney. Hi, Brian, if you're watching. And he got cast to play a truck driver. And if you watch the extras, Laura's hitchhiking.
Yes, with Laura. Yeah.
She goes and has sex with the guy in the semi, right? And man, they couldn't get to him. He was days on set up here. And then they flew him to LA and he was days on set there. And, he's like, I don't know what's going on. And he finally has the scene and they shoot it and he's all excited. And then he was really bummed that it didn't make the film. And I remember saying, yeah, I think a lot of scenes got cut. So don't feel bad, you know.
Yeah, there was
not knowing, you know, so much. But but then he came back for the third season and he played the security guard in the casino. So.
Is that right?
He's also been he's also been on a lot of stuff. Brian does a lot of stuff, so you know.
See, that's really cool. I mean, and again, with season three, just having everyone come back, and even just, you know, people you wouldn't think would even be back. Which, to be honest, I was so excited and delighted when I saw Heidi show up. I think in part five, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just.
It was fun because that was like the most secretive set, and I had to sign something that nothing can get out, like no photos. You can't tell people you're in it. You can't tell them we're filming. You can't tell them what part you played. I'm going, well, if people find out we're filming, they're gonna know what part I played, right? and I remember it was $1 million for each incident. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
Nope.
You know, and I do remember I'd already filmed, and Amanda Seyfried was there with Marv Rosen, and we were in the back talking, and she took a selfie of us. Yes. We're like, you know,
it's on
like,
your Twitter. Hey, your Twitter.
Yeah, that's like
cover
that's
photo. Because, yeah. At Twin Peaks Heidi on Twitter. Yeah.
And I was like a fan of hers, just, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, Mean Girls especially, I'm a mouse, you know, I mean, it's one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
And she's very nice too. But so, you know, then I go off and my own family didn't know, my friends didn't know. And they were like, hey, here's what we're going to do, Andrea. We're going to start a Facebook petition to get you on the show because we know they're going to be filming it. And of course, we'd already been there and done that. And I was like, oh, guys, don't do that. I'll be embarrassed because what if no one remembers me? You know, no, please don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, I wish I could tell you. So I couldn't tell my family. And anyway, then somebody sends me a photo and it's that photo. And this was, and Marv died 2 weeks later. So that's important to this story.
Yep.
And you know, somebody's like sends me this photo and they're going, is this you? And I look at it and stomach just like I thought I was gonna vomit, and I was going, my first thought was somebody got in, hacked my phone, you know, because I wasn't showing it to anyone. Right. But it was there because I was like, someday I'm gonna be able to show this really cool photo, you know. Right. But so I was just freaking the hell out, and it turned out that Marv's daughter, she didn't know that he was in it. So she was, you know, he died unexpectedly, and she was going through the phone and found it and thought it was a sweet photo. Put it up online, like, oh, here's my dad on the set of Twin Peaks. And of course, people, that was like the first thing to get out. I mean, it was so tightly that little photo is the one that caused all the storm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so of course I'm calling going, it wasn't me. And they're just like, they told me, yeah, it's okay. It's been taken care of, but you know how things go. So it just got flipped all over the place.
Wow.
And my favorite comment was, I'm reading it going, okay, am I in trouble? And somebody's like, well, who is that? Is that Heidi? No, she's too young to be Heidi. And I was like,
hey, nice.
We go. Yes, got the giggle. I heard it. Yes.
But it's a great photo. So yes, it's on my Twitter feed at Twin Peaks Heidi. And I mostly post, I have to say this because I'll get a bunch of followers after a post. And then the next post will be, here's a funny film I found. And then I lose a lot of followers. I'm going, it's not just, or, you know, people are always private messaging me asking about Wisteria. I had no idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, right. Wisteria. And all I could think of was, yeah, my neighbor's got one of those. So I was a smart ass and I posted a photo of Wisteria and I said, I learned something today. And my reaction was that Wisteria only grows on new wood, right? So I just thought, okay, everybody's talking about this. And then of course it blew up like, oh my God. And then I saw it everywhere. And then I felt really bad.
Yeah, that one, I think it even blew up our group chat.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really sorry about that. I had no idea. And I did not mean.
Right.
You were just like, what does it mean?
What does it mean? I just thought, why is everyone asking me about Wisteria? What? Yeah.
That's it's so good.
It's fun. It's fun to get excited. I think some get a little carried away, but you were not. I mean, there were a lot of people, actors, former cast members that were intentionally, unintentionally, probably same thing as you. They were posting that all around the same time, like within a matter of weeks or months, whenever that was.
And mine was just all these random people I did not know. Saying, what about Wisteria? What about Wisteria? So of course I had to, so that's where that came from. But so I know I piss people off if I'm not consistent, but it's just there. I have fun with it. I'll occasionally,
It's great.
Well, that's completely the vein of Twin Peaks. They'll get you excited and make you think they're about to show you something and then just
Yeah, and then she's nobody. She doesn't know. I'm unfollow. And I was going, oh no.
Well, everyone should sleep tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's you're like you had said, I think before we start recording, you don't tweet too often, but I love your Twitter because it's mostly all in character, as Heidi, which is just fantastic. Because I want to just say, when we took our trip to Twin Peaks last year, I don't even remember how we interacted, or it may have just been, I think maybe we posted something about the trip, but you replied or retweeted and you just said, does this mean I have to pour your coffee backwards? And I just thought that was just I was fangirling, as you could say. I just thought that was the coolest thing. So then I just pictured Heidi pouring my coffee backwards at the double R where you are. There you go.
Oh God, how would I giggle backwards? I know, it just, but the next time you're out here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, that was fun. I do try if somebody like, you guys are trying, you've got your podcast and you're excited, you've got these followers, that it's like, oh, thank you. I'm gonna give you a little thank. I'm gonna respond. So I will, respond if people, unless you're writing me with another death threat, and I got some of those. That was weird. Oof,
no.
My friends would send me stuff when the third season came out, and people would put clips. They didn't last long on YouTube, but they would put clips out, and they're going, read the comment section, and I'm going and reading it, and it's a lot of she's fat, and I'm gonna kill you because I hate this, I hate this third season, like blaming me, and I'm, it's like, you're dead, you hear me, bitch? And I'm going, wow, okay.
Should have said that to me. I would reply, third season rules with a Z. And Heidi is a saint.
I was more like to my friend, like, why did you send this to me? What the hell? So I had a lot of people, there were some, on Facebook, some groups just bitching, and they were, because I had, due to a severe bout of depression after an assault, I gained 100 pounds. Okay, guys? Yeah, it happened. Mm. And I was using a cane when we were filming the third season, as a matter of fact. So you don't see it, but it was there. Anyway, so I'm just like, okay. But then people were defending me. So as many people would come in and be making fun of, look how she's changed in the 25 years. I'm going, yeah. And other people were defending me. And I was just like, so random strangers are giving me death threats and calling me names. And then other random strangers are like, you leave her alone. So I was like, okay, there's balance in the world. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, that's just one of multiple examples of how easy it is to, say horrible things from behind a keyboard at somebody you don't know. And I think it's an evergreen statement to just think twice about what you say anywhere to anyone.
Yeah, or make it a little harder. Like, so I'm on this app called Rizzle. I am not being paid for this, I must say. But so
she
you
just
said
held
on
up
my
a
Instagram,
bag of cash that says from Rizzle.
Yeah, from Rizzle, India. But it's Rizzle, and I'm under Smarticle Productions. And but you said on my Instagram, you like the little films. So it's a 1 minute vertical format. So I call it the kinder, gentler TikTok. And the reason I joined that is because there's no comment section.
Oh.
And you can just go put whatever you want on there. You can talk about anything, minute, And there's some amazing like shorts there that will go in episodic form 1 minute at a time. And there's thing that if you like the video, you can push this little heart or you can give it an award. But if you absolutely have to comment back, you have to make a video and you got it. So you got to, you know, you got to do all those steps. And I think it's really, you know, I see very few comment, you know, videos that are, you know, because it's like, oh man, that sounds too hard. Okay.
I have to work for it.
I guess I won't threaten her with that today.
I wanted to passively dunk on this stranger. I don't want to work for it.
Yes, exactly. So yes, I'm enjoying the app immensely. And so, yeah, if you want to follow that and there's, you know, but or if you go to the Instagram, I'm under all these different names. I should post it on the, but
it's hard to get a same handle sometimes.
Yeah. It's fun. I have done a couple of Rizzles as Heidi, but I'll post them on Twitter. I did the Christmas call out.
I was going to say, I like the Heidi haiku.
Otanenbaum, that's Christmas tree in German. Oh yeah, the haiku.
Heidi haiku, yeah. Yes.
Those have been very good.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's just some of the, so people watching, if you want a good laugh in these dark times. It's been fun. It's been really just keeping my sanity because not being able to film. Supposed to be working on this feature, which we should have had filmed. We should have been in the editing stage right now. And I'm producing and it'll be I produced a lot of shorts and I've associate produced like features, but this is my first feature to actually produce. So, yay, I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm being a grown up.
That's fantastic. We'll be following and looking forward to that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's called Early in the Morning, and it's really great. It's by James Wilkinson, and it's takes place in 1939 in Seattle, and it's based on some things that actually happened in Seattle. Like we had Nazis here in 1939 before they went underground. It's just fascinating all this stuff that happened in that year and in Seattle. Seeing as you know, I've lived here more than half my life, so I am a Northwest native. So. Any other questions? That's come on, bring it to me. I can,
I like to ask when we are able to get somebody from the set, if you ever had, and I think we got a taste already, but if you had any really memorable direction cues while you were on set.
Just the giggle, giggle, giggle. And then keep giggling. Okay, do it some more, because he'll direct and... You know, the way the sound works is he can be yelling at you while you're acting. I do remember, up until this scene where I actually spoke for the first time is they just, we spent a whole day moving around the RRR with all these extras coming in and out. And then he's just yelling, okay, you two from the table over there, get up and leave, okay, now you guys change. And so, and I'm just supposed to I kept running around and just nonstop.
Ignore this. Ignore me yelling.
Yeah. Yes. Like, all right. I wanted to go serve him pancakes, but so the first time I actually had a line, I just thought, okay, this is what it's going to be because I'm just going to be background and that's fine. And I get up there and and I go up to the girl playing Miriam and they're talking and Shelley's talking and then I'm like, they're going to take her order and I'm like. And then I'm standing there and they're like, and that's your line, Heidi. And I'm going, I have a line? And the script was so tightly watched, watermarks on all the pages and whatnot, that somehow it had slipped. And so I didn't even see, no one saw a full script. No one saw, you got your pages. So I was like, oh my God, okay, God, I have a line. Oh,
this was my moment. And
then, yeah. Well, that was scary because I'm going, oh, crap. Is it a long line? Is it hard to pronounce words? I mean, I'm just getting it now and they're all set up and everyone's staring at me. So thank God it was, but yeah, so that was funny because it was just I'm like, okay, sure. And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. All right, can you do it? All right, now giggle some more. So that was the big, and I've heard people say like her giggling makes me want to kill myself or no, you know, no, like that's all no. She does. And I'm going, yeah, But you know people like that, don't you? That's all they do.
It's also all she was told to do.
To do. That's right. That was the
direction. I do what I'm told.
And you do it good.
Yes.
What was that like just being back in there? You know, like 25-ish years later with some of the same people.
Some new people that hadn't, you know, some of the people on the set, they hadn't even been born when we did the pilot. And it was just, I do remember being in the makeup chair and Peggy Lipton was there and, you know, Machen was there. So I get done first. And as I'm walking out, I pat Peggy on the shoulder and I said, I want a raise, and then walked out. Yeah, it's like, I think I deserve it after 25 years. Come on.
Yeah. So canonically in the series, Heidi got a raise that day.
Heidi got a raise, evidently. Yeah. So you can think that was my subtext for pouring the coffee extra well.
That's so good.
Just riding that high.
I still have the pad that I stole it from the set. I stole the prop and a pen. But, you know, they hand you just one of those pads that waitress, you know, sorry, servers write their orders on. And so I'm like, all I'm doing is running around. So I was just writing the most random crap and doodles and then I'd flip to the next page and like start it all again. And so there's some really weird stuff on the pad. And
gonna need to get our hands on that.
Yeah, it's like, you should auction that off. And I'm going, well, I was actually thinking, I do a lot of auctions for charity, and we did one with the swag I got from the pilot, you know, going and walking the black carpet, and we auctioned it off on eBay and gave the money to the Idaho Falls Meals on Wheels, because they were being defunded at that time. And I was like, you know, I've got this stuff, and I took my little sister, so we actually had two things, so yes, there could be another option, but I was telling her, you know, people will pay for this. And she's like, they will? Because she didn't even know if she wanted to keep the stuff. And I was like, no, keep it. People will pay for it. So, so we were able to do it to charity. I like doing stuff for charity. And I was thinking, gosh, I could do a page at a time. You wouldn't know what was on it until you bought it and got it.
Exactly.
But there's...
Like a real life NFT.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's like half a pad that I'm just, because I just kept going, and there's, you know, sometimes it starts with a real order and then I'll just go on, you know, like, I'm pretty sure these guys are aliens, you know, look, that one has a tail, you know, I mean, of course I love haikus, so writing Twin Peak haikus and strange little drawings, so yes, it exists, and it's not in my house, okay, it's in...
Nobody come knocking.
No one come knocking. This bad. Or so it's it is in a safe place with, you know, stuff that's in a fireproof box.
I did have Tyler, who couldn't be here tonight. He did have one question. It was for Heidi specifically. It was, what does Heidi look for in a significant other?
Can you dance?
There you go,
will you dance?
That's the important part. Can you and will you?
And will you, yes.
So good.
Well, I mean, you know, I always think that her and her old man, that they've been sweethearts since they were in middle school, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and the reason she's there is he got the good job and they moved. So, they've been, she's only had the one boyfriend.
He obviously had some moves out of winter formal.
Yeah.
He can and do dance.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He can and he do. And man, you should see him polka when he does the traveling. And the people who know how to polka know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's
one of my favorite polka moves.
We did just get a question from Norman. I think this is a very good one. The ending credits scene, I think it's in part 7, where you and Shelley are serving people where there is possibly a time shift. How is this blocked? Has this involved two different sets of customers? Was it filmed the same day?
That was the one I was talking about, where he would just say, you know, it's like the wait staff was, you know, they'd bring in a couple of extra people going, okay, now you're off shift. All right. But Heidi was there the whole time. So okay, now Shelley, you're on shift. But yeah, you were just running around in a circle, and they had real food from the back. And the extras would come, and you were just supposed to like serve them at random. So I do remember, and again, another apology to the people who were at a table, and I brought them pancakes and I set it down. And of course, I'm just like, all right, whatever. And they're going, do you have any maple syrup? And I'm going, yeah, I'll get that, you know. And then I'm like, I don't know where the maple syrup
never
is.
Never be seen again.
They'll be gone, right? But they kept staying there. So I'd come by and they're like, oh, we still don't have the syrup. And it was real food they were supposed to be eating. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. And I don't know why I didn't just, you didn't want to stop production and go, hey, where can I get the prop maple syrup? So the third time I came around and they were like, you know, we've just been waiting. And my back was to the camera. And I'm going to swear now. I was like, look, fuck off. It's not my problem. Eat was put before you. But mm-hmm. I said it as Heidi.
Yeah.
And then just kind of smiled. And the look on their faces.
Cool.
I mean, that's my tip. But yeah, and then there was another couple and they were really funny. And so I'm pretending to take their order. And they're like, well, what do you have? And of course, I'm a smart ass. And they're going, well, what do you have that's like unusual? And I said, well, we do have the Jonathan Swift special. And as you guys know, yes, a modest proposal. So they knew what it was. And I was like, kudos to you for picking up on the, you know, little thing. So they're like, is it only Irish babies? And I'm like, oh, no, well, you know, we've got, you know, we can get some Colombian babies. And they're going, cocaine? I'm going, of course, cocaine. You know? And this is one of the things I'm writing on the pad, but, you know, and then I'm like not wanting to get in trouble from the director, but they were just so much fun. And we were just, so I'd occasionally lean over and point at the menu and I was going, you see here? And then we'd just say something crazy. And then I'd point and then like nod. And that's the one that's in the ending credits where it's just me taking orders. And it was that, and I wish I knew their names, but they were really funny. And the fact that they got the Jonathan Swift, you know, so there you go.
I wonder if at any point there was a props guy that was like, hey, I got Andrea's stuff from set and it says babies and cocaine
stuff babies. Yeah, what is she okay?
Do I need to look into this or
yeah,
or she I've okay to go
I've learned so security, much about right Heidi.
Do we need to detain her?
There we go.
Got it.
Yes. I've learned so much good backstory on Heidi that I didn't know I needed. And see, now I need another
reboot. Who would have thought that our time would have been
Norman,
a delight
here. And here, that's for you, Norman.
Oh. Amazing.
Wow, ew, gross. Sorry,
he said thanks.
It happens.
Oh yeah, didn't mean to. Anyway, all right. Well, I've got to go into a production meeting.
Fantastic, Andrew. Thank you so much for your time. This was wonderful.
Thanks
sorry I was late.
Having me.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
It was the puppy.
That's no excuse, and I'll never forgive you. And no, it's Lent. Great. It's Lent. I forgive you.
So, well, thank you.
So yes, good luck, and thank you, Allison Ivy. My oldest sister is named Allison. So I will get going and you can have me on anytime you want, or James and I, we can do a live Zen bartender shooting if you want.
So, yes, awesome.
Absolutely. Definitely
say,
need to do that.
I'll see the same.
All right.
Yes. We didn't even ask for that one.
Nope. That was a freebie.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrea. Thank you. Oh man.